Once your money is in hand and under control and moving in a positive direction, you can then take back control of your time and have more freedom in your career choices.
Are you feeling resentful, burned out, and underpaid at work? We have created a masterclass for you. It's called Beat Burnout and Build Wealth. 3 simple steps to scale your income without changing jobs or specialties. If you want to join us, here's how it works. Tap the link in the show notes or go to tracybingaman.com/masterclass. Choose a time that works for you. And then bring your A game to the masterclass and be ready to take notes and then take action. Doing nothing and not attending this masterclass results in nothing. And unless you take action, you'll keep earning that same below market value income, feeling resentful and burned out. Change requires action, and signing up for the Beat Burnout and Build Wealth masterclass is the first best step to take. Head to the show notes or tracybingaman.com/masterclass to be the first to have access to your preferred dates and times and to find one that works for you. We'll see you there. Welcome to The PA Is In, the show created by PAs for PAs, where codependency with your supervising physician is a thing of the past, optimal team practice is the future, and physician associate has taken the place of physician assistant as the professional title of choice. I'm Tracy Bingaman, and I'm obsessed with redefining what success as a PA looks like and what it feels like. Here you'll find the mindset shifts, systems, and processes I use to escape healthcare burnout and integrate my work into my life. Work-life balance is a myth, and an integrated life where you thrive professionally, not a balancing act, is the goal here. My mission is to help you to grow into a unicorn PA who loves their job, has abundant energy, time to spare, and work optional financial freedom. The PA is in. Welcome back to another episode of the PA is In podcast, where today we're diving deep into a topic that I think is going to resonate with pretty much every healthcare provider out there: financial health and wellness. Just as we meticulously monitor our patients' vital signs to ensure their well-being, it's equally crucial to take the pulse on our own personal finances. In a profession dedicated to healing and care, let's not forget that our financial well-being needs its own dose of attention and care. Today, we're peeling back the layers of financial vital signs, and we're reviewing things that every healthcare provider should be tracking. Whether you're a seasoned practitioner or just starting your journey in healthcare, today's insights will arm you with the tools to ensure your financial health is thriving. Now, it feels important to note that money and having as much money as possible isn't necessarily the end game here. Getting control of your money creates margin in your life. Join me as we explore the importance of a healthy financial diet, the exercises to flex your savings muscles, and the preventative measures that you need to take to shield against fiscal ailments. These financial vital signs will help you to enrich your financial wellness journey. Stay tuned. Because just like in healthcare, when it comes to finances, the PA is in. Are you a burnt out healthcare worker, busy mom, or someone just wanting to simply self-care as much as possible? I have an answer that will simplify your makeup regimen and give you that glow and confidence you deserve. Saint Beauty is custom makeup for your whole face that comes in one single compact. It's lightweight, quick, easy to use, and amazing for all ages and skin types. Best of all, you get a PA, my friend Alyssa, as your makeup bestie to help along the way. To simplify your morning makeup routine, head to the link in the show notes for your free color match consult with Alyssa. To determine how you're doing financially, it's crucial to monitor several key indicators that reflect your personal financial health and stability. These 6 financial vital signs will help you to assess your current financial situation, to identify potential issues, and also help you to make informed decisions for future financial moves. Here are the essential key pieces of financial vital data that you need to know: your monthly cash flow, your debt to income ratio, your savings rate, net worth, that you have appropriate insurance coverage in place, and your financial stress level. We're going to start with cash flow. Now, cash flow is something that I've talked about before on the show. Cash flow measures the movement of money into and out of your life. Cash flow is calculated based on your income minus your expenses. Now, you can do this annually, but I find it better to do it monthly. Cash flow is the heartbeat of your financial life, showing whether you're living within your means or running a deficit. Positive cash flow allows you to save, invest, and prepare for future investments, growth, and create real, tangible margin in your life. Negative cash flow means that you are accumulating debt and that your financial stress level is likely climbing. So here's how you calculate cash flow. Take your monthly income and subtract all of your fixed and variable monthly expenses and all of your discretionary spending. Your income minus your expenses equals cash flow. Positive number is positive cash flow. Negative number means we have some work to do. If your number is negative, or even if it's a positive number that you feel like you need more margin, here are a couple of ways that you can improve your cash flow. Create a budget and track your income and expenses. So create a budget means that you're making a plan for your money at the beginning of the month before you've earned that money, where every single dollar that you earn has a job and has a plan, and that you decide how much money you're going to spend on utilities and mortgage and insurance, but also on things like dining out and clothing and food. If your cash flow is negative, or you want it to be more positive than it is, consider decreasing your discretionary spending or finding ways to boost your income. Clinicians can consider a negotiation consult with me to increase your income without having to work harder or pick up another job. To take human behavior and habits out of your cash flow equation, automate savings with things like payroll deductions or automatic transfers. Saving first can help keep your spending under control and almost automatically limits the amount of money that you have for discretionary spending. Debt to income ratio. Just as it sounds, debt to income ratio is the amount of your debt compared to your income. This measure is how much of your income is going to pay off debts specifically. If debt payments consume too high a percentage of your income, there may not be enough left for other essential expenses or for you to save and invest in the future. In particular, too much debt can hamper your ability to save and invest for the future, and saving and investing for the future are keys to someday becoming financially independent. A debt-to-income ratio below 35 helps you to have enough financial flexibility that you have enough money to spend on fixed, variable, and discretionary spending. On the other hand, if more than half your income is going towards debt payments on a monthly basis, it could put you at risk of missing a payment if something comes up or being unable to meet other expenses. If your debt-to-income ratio, or DTI, is above 50%, you should focus on bringing it down as quickly as possible. Remember, in addition to debt reduction, tools like refinancing or increasing your income can help you to decrease that debt-to-income ratio. And refinancing, if you're going to go the refinancing route, it's especially effective if you can reduce your interest rate as a part of that refinancing. However, and this is a big however, don't get lulled into a false sense of security when you're refinancing. Refinancing is one step on your journey to eliminating debt altogether. You still have to pay more. You still have to pay down the principal, because refinancing will just decrease slightly your interest rate. Typically, it's not going to pay off that loan for you. So here's how you calculate your debt to income ratio, or DTI. Add up all of your monthly debt payments. That's the interest and the principal, but not any added principal payment amounts if you've been paying extra on your debts. And divide this by your gross monthly income. Couple of ways to increase your DTI: decreasing debt and increasing income. Focus on reducing high interest debt first and boost your income. Even by selling things around the house, small boosts in your income, especially when you use that income to pay off the principal of the debt, will help your debt to income ratio improve over time. Next is your savings rate. According to the annual Consumer Expenditure Survey by the Bureau of Labor Statistics in 2021, American consumers spend an average of 85% of their after-tax incomes, which means the remaining 15% is left over for savings. If you are any like me, you do not want to be average when it comes to saving for the future. And more than that, if you have a negative savings rate or you're not saving on a regular basis, that is absolutely unsustainable with financial wellness in the short term or in the long term. If you're regularly spending more than you earn, look to do things that might feel drastic in the moment, like cutting expenses. Also, look for opportunities to earn more. In a strong job market, oftentimes you can find a PRN position, or sometimes you're able to get your position to give you overtime or work overnights or weekends, or to pick up extra. If you're outpatient, you could pick up covering the in-basket from home for an extra stipend, or taking on a leadership role for an extra stipend, and just kind of systematically see what you can do to increase your income. But increasing your income alone doesn't actually make things better. You also have to change the behavior that's resulting in that negative savings rate. So you calculate your savings rate based on the amount you save on a monthly basis as a percentage of your gross income. So a higher savings rate means you're saving more each month. Now, these savings can be going towards retirement, saving for a future home purchase, funding your emergency fund, or any other short or long-term savings goals that you have. In order for money to be saved money, it needs to go into a savings account and stay in the savings account until the designated purchase or the reason that you saved it comes around. You can't save it this month and spend it on new jeans next month and have that count as savings. It has to be savings for something that's 6, 12, 24 months away or more. Next up is your net worth over time. This one is actually simpler than it might seem. Add up the market value of everything you own and then subtract the total of everything that you owe. So what you own minus what you owe equals your net worth. Think of it this way. If you had to pay off all of your debts tomorrow, selling off every single asset that you own to do it if necessary, how much money would you have left over when the dust settled? Watching how that number changes over time gives a simple indicator of whether you're moving forward or backward financially. Many people, I think especially healthcare workers who have a high student loan burden, shy away from looking at your net worth because you know that you're probably not going to like what you see. Things like heavy student loan burdens, mortgages on homes that have lost value, or even other consumer debts can overwhelm you when you're looking at your net worth. But this vital sign gives you an indication of the level of financial freedom that you have currently. And even if your patient is doing unwell, you still have to look at the vital signs that are pointing to that, the fact that they're doing unwell, so you can improve things. The same is true for this specific financial vital sign when it comes to your net worth. In order to achieve financial independence, your assets will need to provide you enough income to cover your cost of living someday. That day might not be today, and if your net worth is negative, look and track and check it every quarter and start making some changes in the way that you're addressing debt, in the way that you're seeing income, in the way that you're living your life so that you can walk towards financial independence and increase your net worth over time. Insurance coverage. Someday I will do an in-depth episode on insurance coverage, but for now you need to have or at least consider having these types of insurance policies. Auto, home or renters, life, disability, and health insurance for everyone. Providers listening need to stay up to date on malpractice insurance, whether that's fostered through your employer, but also consider holding your own policy depending on your practice setting, stability, and the type of coverage that your employer fosters for you. High net worth individuals should consider having an umbrella insurance policy as an extra added layer of protection. And if you're listening to this and you are over the age of 65, consider long-term care insurance. We all know that nursing home care is very expensive, and having coverage can help you to defray some of that cost. Are you sick of getting mystery beef at the grocery store from some unknown corporate production line? Promised Land Meats offers premium beef raised from a family farm, personalized to your family's needs, and delivered to your door. We've been a customer of theirs for over a year, and we love the meat. Even Dan, who is really hard to impress when it comes to beef, won't stop raving about the quality of these cuts. You can truly taste the difference. Choose the Farm to Family subscription plan and get a customized farm-raised beef box shipped to your door every 1, 2, or 3 months. Skip the grocery store and shop with your American farming family by going to promisedlandmeats.com or click the link in the show notes. Last but certainly not least, the level of financial stress. There are plenty of other statistic data-driven vital signs that we could have talked about when we talk about finances. however. The final one that I want to talk about is honestly probably the most important one, and why all the other vital signs and why financial health and wellness matter at all. It is your level of financial stress. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being never and 1 being all the time, how often do you worry about money? How often are you worrying about having enough money in the future, how much money you have right now, or if you're doing the right things with the money that you do have? Studies about stress and finances tell us that decreasing your level of financial stress over time is obviously going to be better for your mental health, but it improves your overall wellness, and it has even been shown to improve blood pressure. In fact, employers care about your level of financial stress because employees who are less stressed about money have less sick days than employees who have a higher level of financial stress. Taking your financial vitals provides a focus for your financial life in the short term. Let this episode inform some of your short-term money goals, and let it encourage you to make some real change. Check in now on your financial vital signs, but don't forget to mark your calendar for 3 or 6 months from now to see if you're improving, to see if the things that you're going to change are actually improving the vital signs, right? You would never examine a patient without checking their vitals, so you should never wonder how you're doing from a financial vital sign standpoint without checking these specific things. Money is meant to enrich your life and to help you to build joy and to have more of the things that you value in your life. You may want to listen back to this episode with a pen and paper in your hand. Evaluate your cash flow. What is your debt to income ratio? What is your savings rate? How has your net worth changed over time? Take a look at your insurance coverages and make sure you have the ones that you need for your family at this stage of the game. Most important, take a moment to tune in to how your financial stress level is. After you take time to check in with these 6 financial vital signs, give yourself a pat on the back for anything that you are doing well. Then set some clear goals. Remember that SMART goals that are specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely are the most effective way to set a goal. When you have clear, simple metrics to track as you move toward or maintain your financial independence, you can make your financial decisions with more purpose, more clarity, knowing that you are going in the direction of the life that you want. For every action, there is a result. And controlling your behavior and your habits around money results in financial change. Getting your money under control, increasing your cash flow, reducing your DTI, saving more, and growing your net worth over time, these things create margin in your life. Once your money is in hand and under control and moving in a positive direction, you can then take back control of your time and have more freedom in your career choices. As we wrap up today's episode on financial health and wellness, it's clear that the journey to financial stability is much like the path to physical wellness. You have to be aware of this. You have to be committed to making change, and you have to be proactive at measuring what matters to see if you're actually making progress towards your financial goals. By embracing the financial vital signs that we've discussed, from nurturing your net worth to ensuring your cash flow breathes freely, you're not just securing your financial future, but you're also setting a foundation for a life that allows you to focus on what matters most: caring for yourself, caring for your family, and caring for your patients. Remember, I mentioned this earlier, but it's worth reminding you, financial health is not a one-time checkup, but rather an ongoing process of adjustment and improvement. Just as we advocate for preventative care in medicine, applying those same principles to our personal finances by regularly monitoring financial vital signs can prevent you from future distress or future financial illness. I'm not sure if financial illness is actually a term, but it's coined here. You heard it here first. Whether you're adjusting your budget, enhancing your savings strategy, or reviewing your insurance coverage, each step you take is a step towards financial resilience and independence. I want you to keep educating yourself and to know about these things. It is no one's job to be responsible for your money but you. Your financial well-being is an integral part of your overall quality of life, and that in turn results in your ability to provide the best care for your family and for your patients. Thank you, as always, for tuning in to another episode of the PA is In podcast. That's all for today. This PA is out. Congratulations. You've just joined an awesome club. By listening to a full episode of The PA Is In, you are officially on the Unicorn PA team. Welcome aboard. What most team members do is they subscribe to the podcast because that allows them to automatically get the latest episode of the show. The life of your dreams exists on the other side of taking action. Keep making small shifts and keep getting better. Your life will improve, your career will soar, and you will have the confidence you need to create your own success. I will see you in the next episode. This PA is out.